it's exciting to be back here and to see what God's doing in this church, and we just believe it's just going to head on up, and this church is going to be used to touch this community, has already, but will continue to touch this community. And thank you for inviting us back a couple times and honoring us so much. Would you like a praise report? Would you like to hear a miracle? Well, first of all, and I hope they don't mind, my two sisters and her husband are sitting here in the second row here with us. And Linda, why don't you wave? And Ivan, why don't you wave? Okay, so this couple, we had the honor of leading them to the Lord in 1977 at 3:00 in the morning. And I want to tell you that it was probably the most powerful conversion I have ever experienced in my whole life. In fact, we had gone to visit them, and they started talking about the things of the Lord, and we were going to leave, but it's just the way the conversation opened up, and my brother-in-law gave his heart to the Lord. But in the room, the Holy Spirit was so powerful that I literally fell under the power of the Holy Spirit twice during that time, and I'm not one to do that. All of a sudden, I was on the floor. And then I get up, and I'm like, what's going on? And Rick's like, you fell under the power. And then a couple minutes later, I was on the floor again. And I'm like, what am I doing here? But that Holy Spirit was so powerful that night. So we thank the Lord for that. But that's not the end of the story. I've been praying, how many years of that is? Maybe 40 years or whatever. I've been praying for my siblings to come to the Lord. And my sister, the other one that's here, Wanda, can you wave your hand? She gave her heart to the Lord 2.5 weeks ago.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I have a few more siblings to come, but I know God is going to do that. But the scripture has been going through my mind in recent days. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91. Who loves Psalm 91? Isn't that a beautiful promise? All of those scriptures. And you know, I think that scripture has been going through my mind in the last few days. So I don't know who maybe needs that today. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I want to encourage you, no matter what you're going through, because you have made God your fortress, your strength, He is with you. He is your strength through the difficult times, and He can be counted on, and He can give you strength. And, you know, maybe you've had times when you're going through something and you wake up in the night and you can be assured that you can rest in the shadow of the Almighty. You can have rest because you have made Him your dwelling place. So hopefully that's an encouragement to you. And thank you, Pastor Stephanie, for inviting us. And God bless you.
Thank you very much. Pastor Stephanie, you have been such a great friend and colleague, and we just want to thank you. And Trevor back there, we want to thank you for inviting us today, and we just consider it an honor to be here in your wonderful church. Now, I'd be really bad if I didn't thank my brother for coming. Would you come to the microphone? Can you and Ann come to the microphone? Wayne and Ann Hilsden are coming, and I didn't expect them today. And we didn't anticipate them coming. Say something to us.
Shalom. We've been serving in Israel for 36 years, and we're back for about 6 weeks in North America, part of that in Canada, part of that in the States. And it's been a while since I've heard you preach, so I want to come and hear you preach. And it's good to be here in this congregation as well. In fact, we were here probably 25 years ago almost. when Rob Brower was the pastor here many years ago. So it's just a great blessing to be here. Thanks for letting us say hi. You want to say something?
Well, I'm just going to say, since we've handed the pastorship of the congregation in Jerusalem over to a younger man, we've had a different kind of a life, and we live very spontaneously. Yeah. And so this is a very spontaneous weekend as well, and so don't take it personally if we have to step out. Our son is driving from Ottawa to meet with us in Coburg at a certain time, so we might have to leave a little bit early.
Depends
but
it's on how long the preacher.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a joy
no
to
pressure.
Be here.
No pressure.
Yeah. Yeah, we're just happy to be with you today. God bless you all.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Totally appreciate that. My goodness, such a joy to be here. Well, today I want to ask this question. Why did Jesus bother to come to this old planet? Why did Jesus bother to come to this old planet? Ever asked that question? What was his mission? Well, today, to find the answer to this question, you need to look at the textbook. That's the Bible. Turn with me in your Bibles or electronic versions of the Scriptures to the third book of the New Testament, the book of Luke. How many of you have found it already? All right. That's Luke chapter 4, verses 1 and 2 and 14 to 21. Before we read the scripture, let's pray. Father, we are so thankful today to be in your house, to be in the presence of Jesus, to collectively join together in one accord. We are excited today to be part of the chosen ones. And we thank you today, Lord, that you are with us. And it doesn't matter what language, what dialect, what version we are in, but we are in your kingdom today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. The title of this section of my Bible is Jesus is Tested in the Wilderness. Jesus is tested in the wilderness. Let's read it. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. He was hungry. That has to be the world's greatest understatement. After fasting for 40 days, he was hungry. Have you ever been hangry? That's a combination of hungry and angry. I believe Jesus was a little bit hangry himself, having to put up with the devil's tricks for 40 days. You know the devil plays dirty? You ever notice the devil plays dirty? 4 times Jesus was the victim of the devil's schemes. But today I would like to concentrate on the first part of this passage, Jesus full of the Holy Spirit. In this context, you would think that the Holy Spirit would make the Lord exempt from the temptations of the devil. However, it made him a target. Instead of making him exempt, it made him a target for the devil. And we, you and I, are often targets of the devil's attacks. In every case when Jesus was tempted, he quotes the Bible right in the devil's face. And afterwards, the enemy gave up until the next opportunity came. Well, let's read on, looking at verses 14 to 21. Jesus returned to the Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. Everyone praised him. You guys live in the Galilee, or at least on your cottage is up in the Galilee. That's a significant area of the country. News about him spread it from the power of the Spirit. Notice when the scripture read power, in the original language, it was the same word as dunamis, which we read in Acts chapter 2, that is the supernatural power of God. That's the supernatural power of God. Instead of being weakened by 40 days of virtual starvation, he was rejuvenated and came out in the supernatural power of the Spirit. The Bible says he went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went to the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And rolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he's anointed me to proclaim news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Now we're going to take this passage of the book and break it down into bite-sized pieces. And in the end, we will develop an appreciation for the mission of Jesus in a brand new way. If you care to, with your thumb still in the fourth chapter of Luke, look with me to Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2. Jesus has referred to this parallel passage as he identifies himself as the Anointed One. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me." Say, "anointed me." Anointed. Now, the anointing is a peculiar word. We don't use that in our vocabulary very often. Technically, it means to rub in, like you rub in deodorant in the morning. At least I hope that you rubbed in the deodorant this morning. But spiritually, it means to anoint a person to a particular position. Back in the day, people were chosen for office by the symbolic pouring of olive oil on a king or a prophet or a priest. And in doing so, they were anointed or chosen, or better yet, set apart to do the God's work. So Jesus the King had a self-anointing by declaring, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Now, there were several things that the King of Kings was anointed to accomplish. We call it the mission of Jesus. Number one is to preach the good news to the poor. The first aspect of the mission of Jesus was to minister to the poor and the needy. There's a hope for the poor and needy today. Governments may try to help, but the only thing that truly can help comes from Jesus. Don't you agree? There's an old saying called redemption and lift. It means when you come to Christ, your economic standard is suddenly lifted. Redemption and lift. I can well remember the encounter I had with Roy while I pastored down the road at Liberty Pentecostal Church in Bowmanville, Ontario. To be honest with you, Roy was an example who was short of a full load of bricks. Okay? You know what I mean. He came stumbling into the assembly a few times until one day Roy walked the aisle and gave his heart to God. Well, he made a few trips to the altar. Not once, but many times, over and over and over and over. I thought if he'd ever give up, he'd be unsaved for sure. You know, when he could use a few trips to the altar, not just to get saved, but to be sanctified and purified. And after that, Roy became a little prayer warrior. He wanted to pray for me. just before I went up to the platform to preach. He would bow his head to pray, but I would end up being the one to pray. I would say, Lord, help this little preacher to preach. Then he would say, amen. Well, he joined the men's prayer meeting at 6:30 in the morning on Tuesdays. Then he joined the ladies' prayer meeting. It didn't matter to Roy. I found out later why he joined the ladies' prayer meetings, because he wanted food. And they came faithfully with food. Sometime later, he met with me and told me he was being moved from his current halfway house that he lived in and was being sent to a new town. And he wanted to give me a gift before he left the city. So on Sunday morning, just before church, Roy presented me with an old cardboard box that I could open in front of the entire church. In it, I found an old used tie, full of stains on it, and a pair of old and worn out secondhand gloves, and a pair of brand new toenail clippers. Well, I'm certainly glad they were new. You see, he gave all he had to the preacher who had led him to Christ. Kind of reminds me of the famous widow's mite. You see, Jesus reaches the poor and needy, and he reached down his hand to old Roy. Next, Jesus' mission was to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Have you heard of Donald Trump? Raise your hand. I personally don't think he's committed any crimes. But people keep comparing him to Richard Milhouse Nixon, the then president of the United States. Well, Richard Nixon was proven guilty of high crimes and misdemeanors. He should have gone to jail except for Gerald Ford, who suddenly forgave him with a presidential pardon. But Richard Nixon took down a slew of other men who were in the called the Watergate scandal. One of those men was Chuck Colson, first as a government lawyer serving Richard Nixon as a political guider, but he turned prisoner. Once known as the president's hatchet man, Colson gained notoriety at the end of the Watergate scandal for being named as one of the Watergate Seven. Well, he pleaded guilty to obstruction of justice. For the next 7 months, he in federal prison in Alabama as the first member of the Nixon administration to be incarcerated on Watergate charges. As he was facing arrest, someone gave Chuck Colson a copy of Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, which after reading it, led Colson to become an evangelical believer. Well, so in 1976, he founded the then known as Prison Fellowship. The volunteer-based organization was designed to bring a Christian message to prisoners and their families. I always admire people with a prison ministry. Wow, what a wondrous example of message of Christ who's still able to set the prisoner free, even while they still serve time. Number three, then Jesus' mission gives recovery of sight to the blind. When I say recovery of sight to the blind, your mind immediately travels to the famous passage of Scripture from John chapter 9. In the passage, a man is born blind. His disciples were fighting with each other. Who is to blame, this man or his parents? And Jesus responded by saying, neither this man nor his parents sinned. But Jesus did something unusual. He made some mud and put it on his eyes and told the man to wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, that's kind of a strange miracle. But the man obeyed Jesus and could see. You see, Jesus is still in the miracle working business. Don't you know that? I know I've been told you this before on a previous occasion, but back in the day, some 28, 29 years ago, the doctors told me I had stage 4B cancer. The doctors told me to go home and plan my funeral. But God had higher plans. He had higher plans for me. Hallelujah. Today I'm completely whole by the power of God. Amen? Amen. Come on. Come on. Come on. Do a little jig with me. Come on. He's still a God who saves, delivers, and heals. And if you're in need of a miracle in your life, Judy and I are here to minister to you. Remember that Jesus is the healer. Hallelujah. The fourth part of the mission is to release the oppressed. Oppression is a prison-like state of mind that can capture your soul and your body until you scream for help. At the very least, that is, in its subtlest form, can take the form of depression. I had this on occasion in my own life. But some are so oppressed of the enemy that it crosses over to demon possession. I declare that your answer for depression and oppression and the worst case, demon possession. Sometimes medical invention is God's tool to bring about a dynamic change. Sometimes people need an outright miracle. But whatever the case, you put your trust in Jesus for help. Some time ago, I met a young man by the name of Craig. Craig was very discouraged to the point of becoming depressed. He has applied for umpteen jobs and most recently tried to pass an exam as a security guard. But when he goes for the tests, he always fails just by an inch, just by a few marks. As Craig poured out his woes to me, you see, I was waiting to get a word in edgewise. All I could do was to wait until he was finished so I could tell him about Jesus' power. But I didn't have the opportunity to speak to him about Jesus as he was called away by the next bus that was pulling around the corner. I don't know if we'll ever see him again, but I've been praying that someone who cares would stumble across his path. My friends, Jesus is the answer. It sounds like a cliche, but Jesus is the answer. Amen? In the words of Andre Crouch's old song, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. Hallelujah. The last section of the scripture is what I like the best. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Back in Bible times, there was something called the year of the Lord's favor, and it happened every 50 years. The Jewish people waited for the 50th year to come when all of their property and personal debts would be forgiven. It was a historic year of Jubilee based on Leviticus chapter 25. The main purpose of this special year was the balancing of the economic system. Slaves were set free and returned to their families. Poverty that was the property that was sold was reverted to the original owners, and all outstanding debts were canceled. Can you imagine hanging around for the 49th year? Next year is our year of Jubilee. Next year, the debts will be canceled. Slaves freed. And any money owed would be returned. Your mortgage would be paid in full. Wouldn't that be something? Well, it's almost here. I can feel it in the air. It was an Old Testament advance on grace. Jesus applied all of this to his own ministry. He certainly brought good news of salvation to the poor, to bankrupt sinners, to those stuck in prison, and to healing to brokenhearted and rejected people. He delivered many from blindness and from the bondage to demons and disease. Indeed, it was truly a spiritual year of Jubilee. Spiritual year of Jubilee. In fact, from now on, there would be a permanent Jubilee. We're living in Jubilee due to grace. So Jesus finally sat down, and all the eyes of the people were fixed on this man. As after he declared, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Man, wouldn't that be amazing? After all, it was his mission. The Bible says that they were in amazement and spoke well of him. And as I close, I want to read a short poem to you. And the worship team can come back, and they'll feel free to begin to play. He's the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He's the keeper of creation and the creator of all. He's the architect of the universe and manager of all times. He always was, he always is, and always will be. Unmoved, unchanged, undefeated, and never undone. He was bruised and brought healing. He was pierced and eased pain. He was persecuted and brought freedom. He was dead and brought life. He was risen and brings power. He reigns and brings peace. The world can't understand him. The armies can't defeat him. The schools can't explain him. And the leaders can't ignore him. Herod couldn't defeat him. The Pharisees couldn't confuse him. And the people couldn't hold him. Nero couldn't crush him. Hitler couldn't silence him. And Oprah can't explain him away. He is light, love, and Lord. He is goodness, kindness, gentleness, and God. He is holy, righteous, mighty, powerful, and pure. His ways are right. His word is eternal. His will is unchanging. And his mind is on me and you. He is my Redeemer. He is my Savior. He is my guide and my peace. He is my joy and my comfort. For he is my Lord. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you lift your hands if you feel comfortable doing that? And praise God for a few moments. Just give him praise from the depths of your being. Hallelujah. Oh God, we give you praise in the name of Jesus. We give you thanks, Lord, that there's no division in the Lord. In fact, there's nothing too difficult for my Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh God, we give you thanks today. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you're poor, God can set you free. Set you on a higher level. you are blind or symbolically blind, you've got a physical ailment, in other words, God can heal you at this moment. If you've got oppression that can lead easily to depression, He can set you free. For this is the year of a Jubilee. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 If you'd like to come forward and commit your life to God, or at least come and present yourself, your needs to the Lord, this is your opportunity to come right now in the name of Jesus. From wherever you are, you could be, where you're seated right now, or you're standing right now, would you slip out from where you are and come? Give your life afresh to God, or at least to come to make a fresh commitment to God. Remember, years ago, Roy made a commitment over and over and over and over again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.